Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, so we're page 43-44. Just that last point that where Sukadeva Goswami is explaining how Krishna takes the essence. I offer my obeisances to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person who, like a bumblebee, collected the honey of the essence of Vedic knowledge, and to destroy their fear of repeated birth and death, made his servants drink it. So you also see here about, like a bumblebee collected the honey. Right? So a bumblebee only goes and collects the essence. Right? Does that make sense? So they're not just collecting anything. So what's collected is also very nice. Right? So it's not just that the essence is something that is very dry or harsh, austere, very tough, very difficult. No, it's actually it's the nectar. It's the nicest part. Because the actual essence is what always works. So that means it is very balanced. It's very, compatible with every situation. Right? Does that make sense? The principle always applies. So that means it applies anywhere. So that means it's the nicest thing. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Because it always works. So it's not that it works everywhere, but sometimes it's more efficient, sometimes less. No, it always works. It's always good. Like that. So that's also the nice thing we see about the Bhagavatam, is that being the essence, being taken like that, then it always works. It's very nice. It functions very well. Right? Does that make sense? So the next point. In Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 30, Srila Jiva Goswami explains from Canto 2, Chapter 2, how attraction for the Lord develops in the heart of one who takes to hearing his transcendental glories. Note Srila Prabhupada's comment in 37 purport. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on the Kathamrita mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarian message of the Personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, naming lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general in all parts of the world will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. This means that what you associate with is what is going to be important to you. Right? Means we've heard this. So, the thing is because we're in the material world, we're dealing with the material world, and we're getting our result. And the result we're getting is not necessarily so great. Right? It's okay, it functions, but it's not necessarily so great. So, if we hear from someone else the thing that they're doing that's great, then naturally we'll be attracted. We'll want to try that, or we'll get inspiration. Right? But, so one may think, well, it is great, but think about it. Let us say you're having a bad day. But it's not so bad, but it's not a great day. And someone comes up to you and says, oh, hi, how are you? What are you going to say? Fine. Okay, yeah, life's going on. You know, you're a little upbeat. So just remember that when somebody's talking about something that they find nice. You understand? No. In other words, let us say you've just found, you're engaged in some activity. It's okay, because sometimes you have at times got a very good result, but now that you've been doing it for a while, it's not necessarily get a great result. But will you be satisfied with that? Can you just leave it at that? Or do you have to tell yourself you're having a great time? Right? And even if it's not to yourself, but when you talk to others, then? Right? So that means much of what others are talking about that they're enthusiastic about is presenting to you the upbeat side of what occasionally actually they experience. And then, but will we take it like that? okay, I put in so much time and so therefore I get back this much happiness from it for all the difficulty I go through. So let us put that at, you know, let's say I get a 20% return, right? Right, 20% markup's pretty good, right? So 20%, right? So then, but when someone else tells you what a great thing it is, do we think, well, only 20% is true? No, we take it 100%. Because if you take it at 20%, then you're a skeptic and this, and then nothing's ever good and you're never satisfied, right? So we don't want to be like that. We want to be happy, no? We want to be enthusiastic. So the thing is we haven't found it, so therefore we think if someone else is talking about it in a good way, it must be there. I just didn't quite get it right. But now I've got it. Yeah? Isn't it? So that's why then when you associate with those who are not devotional, then material desire will increase, right? Because somebody has to feel good about themselves and about what they're doing. And they want to associate with those who also have a common interest, or at least a common appreciation, right? Even if you don't do that, you don't mind them doing it, or it's fine if they do it, or you even encourage them. No? Yeah. So that means if you associate with materialists, you must develop material inclination. Right? Otherwise, where is the association? Where is the cultural exchange? Does that make sense? Right? Otherwise, it just can't work. Does that make sense? So if we take up that of the, how do you say? Of the devotees, and that of the spiritual, then hearing that, then we're going to start to look at that as a source of something happening. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that's why it's important to always associate with the devotees, to always hear the pastimes of Krishna and those kind of things like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's a very, very, it's simple, because otherwise, well, what's the big deal? You know, all those different things like that. But that's not what is being given. The point is what actually happens is we say it doesn't matter, but it does. Right? You think about it. How much of outside fashion do we copy? How much of outside discussion do we use? Phrases, words that are fashionable. Right? How much of our values of what we want are actually coming from outside? Right? That's because we associate with it so much, therefore it comes up. Right? So it's not just that it's we are dressing nicely, behaving nicely in that, because that's just what one should do. Right? Because there are some, how you say, typical underlying elements of culture and fashion that are basically, you could say, are universal. Right? Generally, of course. But I'm just saying something like being a little tidier, being a little clean, or, you know, things being a little bit not looking raggedy, though sometimes the fashions are to look a bit raggedy. But, you know what I'm saying? But you don't do that, you know, you don't go out with your stressed sari, and you know what I'm saying? You go out with your stressed jeans, right? You know what I'm saying? Because it actually is, it's not a real fashion. You know what I'm saying? But certain things, they're always there, right? Does that make sense? It means still some of the things in the Western that, let's say, hundreds of years ago were the fashion. Then if you have formal occasions, that's still the fashion. You understand? Because it's working on... So it's not that we're working on that. Right? It's we're working on what is actually... It's not that we're thinking, okay, as a devotee, then we dress as, you know, cultured people. So we wear our dhotis, we wear our saris, and this is what, you know, gentle people wear. So therefore, if I'm in a Western environment and I'm obliged to wear Western clothes, therefore I should wear something that's cultured. Right? And if you wear something that's cultured, it's automatically fashionable. But it's not street fashion. Right? I'm only using street fashion because that's what I see devotees wear. I can maybe say I've met, you know, two or three devotees that when they wear something that's cultured, you know, like that. Generally it's streetwear. So then, does that make sense? So that's my point, is that this is like a point, I heard this a million times. But the point is we've heard it a million times, that did we actually, we've understood it, means we can explain it, but do we actually understand the repercussions of it? Right? Is that by whatever association you keep, that's the qualities and desires you will gain. Because that's what the interaction, the rapport, everything is based on. Does that make sense? You walk down the street as a devotee, people respond to you as a devotee. You walk down the street in streetwear, they respond to you as someone wearing streetwear. So depending upon what kind of association you're comfortable with, that's what you're going to do. You know? That's what you're going to do. Okay. So he says it will survive, it will subside. He doesn't say will, he just says will. Because if you always hear about Krishna, the association that and devotees like that, you will take on those qualities. So if we just do those things, then it happens. Because you will talk about what you have heard about. Right? That's just what you'll do. Whatever's in your head, that's what will come out. When you wake up in the morning, whatever you've been talking about, whatever you've been listening to, whatever you've been watching, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Isn't it? When you wake up in the morning, you're taking your shower, and some tune is going through your head. Just where did it come from? It came from the last things that you did. Right? Does that make sense? So if you're always in association of devotees, always hearing about Krishna like that, then that's what's going to be there. And just gradually, gradually, by association, that will replace the other needs. Right? Just by habit. Right? We don't want to go from a situation where we have something that we're comfortable with or we're inspired by to this kind of like void thing where there's nothing there. Right? You know, give up everything, just surrender to Krishna. It sounds great, but the problem is the gap between what I'm the comfort and security I feel now in my material situation and having that same comfort in the situation with surrendering to Krishna. Right? So what's going to stop us? Right? Intelligence knows what's right. Right? Any devotee, you can ask them what should be done. They can tell you. But can it be done? Not necessarily. Because of this gap. Does that make sense? Because if I give up, then where will be my security? What will be my support? Where will I get that emotional satisfaction? Where will my needs be fulfilled? Right? So that's why you constantly see Krishna does that. He's always there. He takes care. He protects. He provides. Right? And then slowly, slowly, then you think, hey, why am I doing this? Krishna will take care of me. But that's after association. It means if someone does it very quickly, that's very special. Right? You know, so they have a lot of that sukriti. So they're able to do. But that's come from a lot of association. Right? Does that make sense? So like this, then if we take this seriously, then it adjusts. Right? And with time, then as these situations come up, more and more then we'll fall back on Krishna rather than on, you know, as described, the fallible soldiers. You know, all these different items that we think are going to help us, are the money, our position, wealth, influence, whatever may be there, then we find that actually, no, Krishna is actually the one. Because these things, we see with time, do fail us. And we see if we look around, they fail everybody else, right? Because I'm in that circle of, you know, contemporary, let's the contemporary environment. Therefore, everybody has, it means the living entity has to have faith we're going to get something, we're going to get somewhere. So they don't know anything else other than material life, so therefore they have to reinvent themselves continually to keep that inspiration. Right? So in that environment, it's just natural that one will be caught up in that. Right? But now, if you step out of that and you take up a different association, then you're actually able to appreciate the 20% factor. Right? But if you're in the environment, you have to look at the 100%. Or okay, 99%, 96%, okay. You know, even 80%. But not 20%. Right? Does that make sense? You know, for that 3-minute rush down the side of the, you know, powdered slopes on 150 miles an hour, you kind of finesse the 6 weeks of the broken leg when you hit the tree at the bottom. Right? So if I'm only being nice by saying 20%. It's probably more like 2%, or even if we go, we'd have to go into the point something percent if we want to be really real. But, you know, it's just like how it means, how, yeah. Okay. Anucheta 30. How does attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead develop? That is explained in the following question and answer, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.38. Quote, please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. So here we see what he should do, what he should not do, because these two go together, right? Because there's something that will, like, say, like medicine, will increase your health, but there's certain things you do that will go against you getting better. So you always need two. That's why there's yama and niyama. What you should do, what you shouldn't do. Okay. But of the two, what you should do is the primary. Right? What you shouldn't do is secondary. That should also be kept in mind, because otherwise we can get off track in being so absorbed in what's secondary. Because what's secondary is very easily turned into an ism. Right? You can also turn the other into, but does that make sense? It's very easy to point out what you shouldn't do, because I'm not doing it, so it's very easy to point out what everybody else is doing. Right? Does that make sense? And it comes, you're noticing it only because it's you. Like I remember the first one, you got, you know, not wearing glasses. You know, you notice people do wear glasses. You know, like that. But I remember when you first got glasses, then you realize how many people wear glasses. It's kind of, you know, it's like very, like that. And it's like that for quite a while, you know, some weeks or months like that. Then eventually then you don't notice anymore. But it's, so the point is whatever you're into is what you're going to notice in everybody else. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so like that, one has to be very, very careful in that one doesn't get distracted by that. Because what you're supposed to do is the main thing. What you're not supposed to do is just so that what you're supposed to do goes smoothly. Right? It's not that what you're not supposed to do becomes the main thing. Right? It's not that we're not supposed to eat non-vegetarian food. Right? Then all we'll notice, because if we get into, no, we're supposed to take prasad. Otherwise, you go out into the street, how much non-vegetarian food do you come across? Right? And even as vegetarian, how much onions and garlic you come across. So you could spend your whole day, oh, these guys, you know, don't they know? This is nonsense. Oh, they're going to hell. Oh, you know, every hair on the animal's body. You know, you could go on all day. Keep yourself very inspired, you know. A lot of bile would be happening. Right? So good digestion like that. Hope you don't get any acid or ulcers. But, you know, at least, you know, the flow of fluids would be happening. Right? But that's not inspiring, and no one else is going to want to take up what you're doing, right? But if Prashad is so nice, that's something that's inspiring, right? Remember, means the person, yeah, okay, the person who talks about how great the skiing is, there's more of a chance you're going to be interested in skiing. But the person who always talks about the broken leg and freezing their nose off and fingers and everything like that, that's going to be, you're going to take that into consideration. It may slow down your enthusiasm, but you'll generally take them as a cynic. Right? Isn't it? So if we work on that side, it's what we're not supposed to do, it becomes prominent, then the difficulty comes is also then our the quality of our association will not be very good. Right? Does that make sense? Because who wants to hang out with a cynic? Who wants to hang out with someone who finds fault in everything and everything? Except another fault finder, right? And if they have a common fault that's a third party, they're great friends, right? Two enemies become allies if there's a common enemy. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, so that was just on yama and niyama, just to keep the balance, that we understand that what we should do is the prominence. The what we shouldn't do shouldn't be avoided. That's also cheap. But it should be, you know, we should understand which is primary and secondary. The answer to the question is given in these words, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.36. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Here the word cha and hints at a host of devotional activities, beginning with serving the Lord's lotus feet. The result attained by engaging with devotional activities, beginning with hearing about the Lord, is described in these words. Hear about and remember. So he's saying here, he said hear about and remember. This is why these comments are very good. Cha, that and, also infers to all the other devotional activities. Though hear about, glorify, and remember. So that's the main. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam are the prominent, but they include the others. So the cha means others are also there. So there's enough activities to keep us completely busy. That makes sense? Right? This is the advantage of the, though a little, how you say, not necessarily exciting, you know, because of their technicality, but the technical answers, these comments bring out a lot of things. Because otherwise we wouldn't take and as meaning also includes other things. We'll just take it that it means it's connecting together here. The word glorify, the two words glorify, remember, are connected with the conjunct and. But here and also indicates that there's more beyond even these three. Does that make sense? Okay, so now the result obtained is now explained here. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.37. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purifying the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. The word punanti, purify, here shows that the previously described path of meditating on the Lord's universal form should be rejected, because devotional service itself brings great purification. One should engage only in devotional service. This verse was spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Punanti, purify. Fully filled. Purify the polluted aim. So through what's hearing, because that's the prominent, we wake up through hearing. Right? You don't wake up by another means. Someone can come and shake you, you could remain asleep, but when they call your name or make lots of sound, that's what you actually wake up. Right? So that's why oral is very, very important here. Then, fully filled means you hear so many things, but it should be very nicely filled with topics about Krishna. Right? Like that. Then, the beloved of the devotees, why would they say that? Why not God? Why not these things. Because the point is we want to be connected to something that's nice, people, right? Something that's happening, people that are satisfied, people that are happy, right? So he's the beloved of the devotees, so that means everybody likes him, so he's a nice guy. If you hear about somebody, let's say we're talking about, oh, someone new came to the community, you don't know who they are, you don't know, and, you know, they're really nice, everybody likes them, everybody finds it's really nice to interact with them. What's your first thought? Who is this? I want to meet them, right? Everybody likes them, so I'd like to meet them. No? Right? So, that's the right thing, is we talk about the Lord who's the beloved of the devotees. So then, you want to know who is this person. Does that make sense? It's natural. So then, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment. So it's polluted aim because it's not that enjoyment is the problem. This is also very important. Enjoyment's not the problem. The problem is who's enjoying. Right? You know, it's just like, let us say, a mother and child interact, right? And in this interaction, there's going to be enjoyment. But if you're going to say it's a good mother-child relationship, who would be the one who you would see visibly the enjoyment? The mother or the child? Both? Let us say the mother is not a child. Okay, both. I said visibly, because the mother is more mature, more sophisticated, right? The child, you say, okay, we're going to do this. And the child goes, oh, yeah, honey ball, like this. Does the mother do that? No. Okay. So now, what if the mother was doing that and the child was thinking, this is a bit out of it? Would you consider it a good motherly relationship? Right? You'd say something's not quite right here. Right? But no one's complaining that somebody shouldn't be enjoying. Right? The complaint's not that. The complaint is who. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that's why it says polluted aim of life as known as material enjoyment. Because that's we're trying to enjoy rather than we're trying to make Krishna happy. Right? Means in the material world, the relationship works at its best when you're trying to please the other party. No? Means it'll work to the degree you're trying to please yourself, that degree that relationship will be dysfunctional. To that degree you're trying to please the other, then it will work nicely. Isn't it? So, even on the material platform, it works like that. So, let alone the spiritual. But the difference is, in the spiritual, there is no underlying trying to please yourself. So, even though I am working to please the other person, then that's what I'm, you know, then I will get done what I want to get done. You know what I'm saying? So, it's diplomatic, but because it's a superior diplomatic, it's considered good. Right? One always has to understand. The material, judging the material, you have to judge it against themselves. Right? Let us say you have a bunch of idiots, right? And you're teaching them ABCs. So the one that can actually remember A, B, and C is considered the genius in the group, right? They get the A. And the one that, you know, as soon as they remember A, and when they get the B, they forget what A was. They're the ones that get the low mark. Right? Isn't it? Yeah. But, in actuality, they've all failed. Right? There's 26 letters. There's more than three. Does that make sense? So, within the material, we judge the material on the standard of the material. So, therefore, then we think it's okay. It's not bad. Right? But actually, it's top to bottom, it's all mercenary. The bottom line is, are we getting something out of it? We may be conscious of it, we may not be conscious of it, but that's the only reason anyone does anything, is for the result. And if the result's not to your liking, no one does anything. Right? You can say, oh no, there's people who sacrifice. But being known as the person who sacrificed is what's important to them. Right? Isn't it? Because someone will say, you know, oh yes, I work so hard, I do this for this, that for that, I give up everything. Someone else will tell them, oh yeah, no, that's really great, you know, this is really nice. They don't know how fortunate they are to have someone like you. That's what you're waiting for. You know? Or finally when, you know, the kid is 30 years old, like that, they have their own kid, they've been through the mill now, and then they come and tell their mother, yeah, you know, now I understand, you know, you were trying your best and trying to, you know, do what you were, you know, you're really trying to help me out there. Thank you for that, right? So you had to wait 30 years, but you finally got it. Right? Does that make sense? Then you're inspired, right? Does that make sense? So the point is, since that's there, the problem's not the enjoying. The problem is who's enjoying. Right? Even on a proper mundane level, it has to be the other person. So, but in the spiritual world, it actually is the other person. That is the reason you're doing it. Right? It's not, there's not some underlying something for yourself. Does that make sense? So that's why it's pure. While here, if it's done where there isn't the obvious underlying thing, then it's called pious. Right? It's called good. Right? Because it's all bad here. So if it's at least externally done nicely and in such a way that it's real, right? The drama was done nicely. There's no, you know, crocodile smiles and other things like that. Then you're happy with that. Isn't it? Right? It's just the way it is, because happiness is the thing of the living entity. So that's why, even though it sounds really good, the impersonal and voidist positions are attractive because of wanting to get out of the material world, not that they themselves have something nice about them. Does that make sense? Because there you're just negating. So you negate, that's all right, because what you're negating, you're not getting much out of anyway. So there must be something better, because everybody's trying to be happy. So how would you have every living entity that you ever have come across wants to be happy and avoid pain? So there must be something underlying here, right? Like even the ant, when it bumps into your finger, if it thinks there's a problem, it will walk around, right? Right? Unless it thinks it can get some enjoyment out of your finger by taking a bite. But otherwise, it's going to move. Nobody wants to have an unfortunate situation. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the main point is switching it. But why that's not made as prominent, you know, as the main thrust, is because then what will stick in the mind will be enjoyment, and because I haven't really developed the spiritual vision to tell the difference between spiritual and material, I can in some things, like it was a great kirtan, or, you know, it was, you know, like this, but there'll be other things, and then enjoyment becomes the main thing, so that becomes prominent. Does that make sense? That's why in the conditioned state, renunciation is taken as the prominent quality, right? Like if you'll notice what between in the varnas and in the ashrams, what moves it up, right? It moves it up. What's getting closer is actually to detachment, right? The Brahman's more detached. The sannyasi is more detached. The kshatriya is also detached. Means it's duty. He's doing it. Because one may complain, no, it's not duty, he's very attached, but he went to the Gurukul, he had nothing. He became the king, he had everything. And then when he turns it over his son, then what does he take with him? Nothing. Right? Vaishyas tend to not do that, they keep something. Right? Shudras never give it up. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just natural. So that's the prominent quality. But we see even within that, the underlying point, it is the person happy. They're renounced, but are they happy? So if you find someone's renounced and they're satisfied in that, oh, that's greatly respected. Right? Because it's something we can't do. Right? They're renounced and they're happy. Right? Everybody likes that. Very pure, liberal, able to deal with everybody, you know, saintly, everybody likes. They respect. Now, if somebody's detached, but they're a little grumpy about it, the position is respected, but the person themselves, you feel they need a little work. Right? Right? They could loosen up a bit. Right? It's not that they necessarily have to give up their renunciation, just they have to balance it. But generally we will think, well, they're too tight, so they should just loosen up a little bit, and, you know, a little enjoyment's not so bad. You know, that might make them a little more balanced. No? That would be more our solution. Because that's what we got. We don't have, if we had, you know, satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction, then we would recommend that. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why that is the prominent. Does that make sense? It has to be that way. So therefore, one should not become disturbed that in our process, so much emphasis is put on detachment. Right? But that does not mean you shouldn't be happy, and it does not mean that you don't deal with whatever is part of your field of activities. Does that make sense? You're a family person, you have position, you have wealth, you have all, no problem. But see it in relationship to Krishna. Right? That's the point. Right? Not that renunciation means, like we were discussing yesterday, the actual meaning of sannyas. Not that renunciation means having nothing. It means that the result of it is actually not for me, it's for Krishna. Is that okay? Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. In the conclusion of all the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhakti Yoga. Yeah, here again you see there'll be a lot of repetition here. That means that that's important, right? According to Mimamsa, anything repeated is important. Anything glorified is important, right? So you see devotional service is glorified, it's repeated, and also then this point here again we come about meditation on the universal form should be rejected, meaning that you're focusing on that, not in connection to the Lord. Right? It's okay for the impersonalist because at least then there's a concept of a form of the Lord. So at least they're coming one step closer to being a personalist. But otherwise for the devotees, then it's used, but it should be that it's bringing you to Krishna. Right? Not that you're getting, just like you don't get distracted by the secondary rules of what you shouldn't do, you shouldn't get distracted by the secondary processes of devotional service, in this case, jnana, where you're using the universal form to understand, connect your activities of karma to the Lord. Does that make sense? That's secondary. That you want to connect it, that you're trying to connect it, that's what's primary. Does that make sense? Using it, that's secondary. Right? You want to get the vegetable prepared to cook. That's primary, no? That you use a knife, that's secondary. Right? You could say, well, without the knife, you can't cut it up. True. But what's the purpose? The purpose is actually to get the cut vegetable, not to use a knife. Right? A kid gets a new knife, then their purpose is to use the knife. Then they find a million things the way they can cut up. Right? But actually, you use these tools, even though they may become prominent, just like Grihastha life is used as a tool to engage the maximum amount of material needs in the Lord's service. But that doesn't mean that the tool becomes what's prominent. Right? That's a mistake. Right? It's important. It's used. It's valuable. No one should criticize it. Right? Those who criticize it don't really understand what is going on. But to take it as primary, that's wrong. That's the Grihamedi. Right? Grihamedi means they take the Grihastha life as the primary, and everything else is secondary. Well, Grihastha means they take Krishna consciousness as primary, and engaging their needs in the Grihastha ashram in the Lord's service as secondary. Does that make sense? Because the point is to be always engaged in the Lord's service. Does it make sense? Right? That's why there's a need of having hierarchy. Right? Even though transcendentally we make no distinction, but still there must be hierarchy so that we can start to place what is actually higher, because then you slowly get higher from there, you get to transcendence within transcendence like this. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why we have this. We shouldn't make it all equal. That will be impersonal. Right? It's all, no, there is a difference in them. But they're all valuable. Right? There is a difference between cold medicine and fever medicine. Right? Or stomach medicine, let's say. Right? And to say, no, why you're discriminating between the different medicines, you know, they should all be giving equal opportunity, then is that going to be an intelligent application of medical practice? No, you have to make distinction, because the point is who needs what gets it. Someone with a fever gets fever medicine. Someone with a bad stomach gets stomach medicine. Right? So depending upon the kind of material attachments one has, then one is situated. One engages that in the Lord's service. Right? That's broad-minded. Right? Lord Chaitanya, his associates, Prabhupada, they had no problem. You know? Detachment's always encouraged because it's closer to getting out of the material world and closer to getting into the spiritual world. But what path you have to take to get there, that's not the problem. Problem is you're on a path that's progressive and you're moving forward on it. Does that make sense? In Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 3, Srila Jiva Goswami explains immediate and gradual liberation by referring to verses from Canto 2, Chapter 2. Consult Srila Prabhupada's purports to verses 15 through 31, particularly 17th purport. I know of Priti Sandarbha, is that the Sandarbhas is basically primarily focusing on prayojana, right? The ultimate. Bhakti is on the process. Like that. And then the others are all basically sambandha. Like that. Paramatma Samhita, Tattva Sam. I mean, Sandarbha, like this. Anucheda 3. Liberation attained at the moment of death is of two kinds, immediate and gradual. The first kind of liberation, immediate liberation, is described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2:2:15-21. O King, whatever the yogi desires, whenever the yogi desires to leave this planet of human beings, he should not be perplexed about the proper time or place, but should comfortably sit without being disturbed, and regulating the life air should control the senses of the mind. I mean, shouldn't be perplexed means he already knows, right? But because the intelligent knows this is the time, but the mind goes, well, I don't know, is it the right time? Am I ready for the time? Or maybe another time should be better, like that. Just don't do that. You know what it is, just do it. Comfortably, just start the process, and everything will work out. Right? You don't have to worry. Right? Thereafter, the yogi should merge his mind by his unalloyed intelligence into the living entity, and then merge the living entity into the super-self. And by doing this, the fully satisfied living entity becomes situated in the supreme state of satisfaction, so that he ceases from all other activities. In that transcendental state of labdho pashanti, there is no supremacy of devastating time, which controls even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures. And what to speak of the demigods themselves? Nor is there the mode of the material goodness, nor passion, nor ignorance, nor even the false ego, nor the material causal ocean, nor the material nature. The transcendentalists desire to avoid everything godless, for they know that supreme situation in harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities, but worships the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment, taking them into his heart. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization, and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot, by lifting the air from one place to another in the six primary places. Like lift means, because the seventh means it's on the bottom, that's where it's starting. So it's lifting means the other six, Right? Does that make sense? Don't think it's only six chakras. There's seven, but it's sitting at the bottom, so you're lifting it to the other six. The meditative devotee should slowly push up the life air from the navel to the heart, from there to the chest, and from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper places with intelligence. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then, blocking the seven outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral pole. Oh, the cerebral hole, okay. And give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Okay. So now we see that, now they're talking about yoga, because in other ages also they were devotees and they would practice this yoga system. So this is how it's done. Now in here, because we're talking about the devotee here, but in the yogi, so we understand that this merging is not merging as such, right? It just means merging into the Lord. It means that we're, how do you say, disconnecting ourselves from the material nature. Does that make sense? So in that way, then, in other words, the consciousness that is there, that is what's being merged into, the oneness of consciousness, like that. The second kind of liberation, gradual liberation, is described in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.2.22.31. However, O King, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments, like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the eightfold perfections, travel in outer space with the Vaihyasas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the material molded mind and senses. The transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruit of workers or the gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. Good morning, sir. Johnny Taj. No book.
Just keep reading.
O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Sushumara to reach the highest planet Brahmaloka, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations. And thereafter he goes still higher to the circle of Sushumara, to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. The Sushumara is the pivot for the turning of the complete universe, and it is called the navel of Lord Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Sushumara and attains the planet Maharloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 4,300,000,000 solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. Yeah, and this is Mahar. That's the bottom of the four, right? Mahar Jana Tapasatya. Mahar is where the Prajapatis live, so they're Grihastas, like that. So they're the ones that have the children and all that, but they're doing it as a point of service, as duty. Below them is Indra's planet, where they're doing it as for sense gratification. There, sense gratification is not. And so there it is respected by the, how you say, the transcendentalists, and they live 4 billion years there. So that as you go up, it gets greater and greater.
It's only one day of Brahma.
4 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, so that means they go through the, how do you say? Yeah, because there's 14 manas in a day of Brahma. So they, because Indra and all of them, the lokapals, they change every 14 times a day. So this means they last the whole day. Whoopee. Okay. At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of duration of Brahma's life, a flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta, from the bottom of the universe. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he leaves for Satyaloka by airplanes used by the great purified souls. Duration. So that whole thing is like when you're in a country and suddenly it goes under siege or that, and everybody runs to the airport and flies off. Then that's what they do on the heavenly planets.
Yeah, you got a book on purified soul airplane.
PSA. Okay. And thus he leaves for Satyaloka by airplanes used by great purified souls. Oh, GPS. The duration of life in Satyaloka is calculated to be 15,480,000,000,000 years. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind, and therefore there are no anxieties, save that sometimes due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those who weren't able to catch the airplane. For those unaware of the process of devotional service, who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. After reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to be incorporated fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of the gross body. And here, fearlessly, because otherwise you don't have a gross body, so you might be a little worried that you're going to, you know, blow away in the breeze or something. So here you're incorporated fearlessly. So that means also your another thing is fearless would be your relationship with the Lord. You actually understand that. So even though it's not a, how you say, spiritual body, it's a subtle body, it's not gross, but in that you can be transcendentally situated, in that you are identify yourself as the Lord's servant.
Yeah, and also being aware of the subtle body means that there's a considerable advanced idea that I don't really die.
Yeah. Even if you missed out on the what's it? GPS airlines. And one after another, he gradually attains stages of existence from earthly to watery, fiery, glowing, and airy until he reaches the ethereal stage. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, the vibrations of the ear by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities. The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism. And in that status, he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance, and passion in the point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahat-tattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. Only a purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. It is also seen that one may be liberated even while living in this material world. This is possible by directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even as one continues to exist in the mundane realm. How this is possible is described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.33. Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. This verse says a person learns by self-realization the truth about the gross and subtle bodies. What kind of truth does the soul learn? The soul learns that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the self. At that time, the soul directly sees the Supreme. When the soul understands his own true nature, then he understands his own true nature. The soul understands liberation. But that does not mean that the soul ceases to exist. When he understands that the idea that he is identical with the gross and subtle material bodies is an illusion, then he directly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The soul attains liberation, even though he remain alive in the material world. This is the meaning of this verse. This verse is spoken by Srila Sutta Goswami.
So we see is that in previous one of the previous
points that was being made, Anucheta, was that the Lord Himself takes the essence. So we can see here in all this, then this is all giving so many things, but then out of that we see then the essence is that even in this body, this can be done. Because both of these other forms that are given are mechanical. Right? They're using the yoga system. One is able to accomplish it at one time. Another, he has to go through all the stages of the universe. He has to travel through. Generally, that means if there is no material desire, one does it in one shot, immediate. If there is material desire, one goes through all those stations to fulfill all those needs until one is purified, goes to Brahmaloka, and then from there goes back to Godhead. But here is being said that by direct is by when you understand that the gross and subtle bodies aren't you, then that you are also liberated. Right? So this simple phrase probably gives, you're not that body. And that body means that gross and subtle. Then that is liberation. Understanding that, realizing that is liberation. Right? So this is, because these others may seem a little difficult for us, but actually we see the essence of it is then given here. And that is very practicable for us. You know, it's not something different for us or a difficulty for us. But, is that clear? Anything on that? Yes.
I just want to make an announcement. I'm sorry I haven't been here for the last several classes. I've been very, very busy researching. And last couple days, the dam broke, and I'm starting to write again like a madman. But I hope next week, once I get, you know, the ship sailing in a straight line,
okay.
I'll be able to attend to the class. But okay. To prepare this, you know, we want to do this orientation book, and this requires a lot of study and a lot of thought. In the last few days, I by Krishna's mercy, I came up with a kind of sutra to summarize the whole book, and then I'm going to build on that. So I'm all excited about it.
Okay.
Please excuse me.
Okay.
But I'm sure Maharaj is. I see by the number of people here, everyone's very pleased with Maharaj's continued presentation.
I actually heard it was the brisk walk in the fresh air over here that was inspiring.
It must have also been the sound vibration emanating from your little lips. Causing them to take this walk.
Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Vriva Gaura Hariyo. Say again? I mean, as of right now, there's no specific plan, but, I mean, is that the day that you get back?
On Tuesday evening, I'll travel reaching Kolkata.
Okay.
And then I will need to come on Monday, so if you are taking a bullet, then I can take some money.
No, I don't think we're going. Right. But whether I would go in for something. You know, because some work and that, and just go in and then we park the car, you know, someplace. Because the work I had was also down that side. And other things I could always go by, what do you call it? You know, these, what do you call it? The metro or something. If it's done, I might not go, so it might just be done.
Okay.
But we'll work it out. No, you work it out that he would be going. It's just a matter of you don't know if I would also go in with the car or just go in.
Okay, and then and then I estimate according to Zanavagya, but a little higher than whatever I could come up with. And altogether, the regulator is around 5,500 already. Then the subject is around 5,000. And
Okay, so then all the days don't get the money for it.
So yeah, if then now you can take the money today and do this tradition.
Are you going in today?
No, tomorrow.
I'm still working on it.
Okay, no, it's probably better to yeah, do whatever it is you take it in that's there and then send it with bullet because if something happens and bullet doesn't work, then it's not just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I understood that you got the key.
Yeah,
anything else?
No.
Okay, so we are not
Because you had mentioned you can do it under the temple, and to me it is way cheaper now than buying the cans. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
It means you figured out if it is, then we'll buy the cans.
How much is the can?
I'm not sure. I think they're like 35 or 38 for 800 grams. It's quite thick, it's quite good.
Yeah. How much is tomatoes?
I wouldn't have a clue. But yeah, they were 800 grams of, you know, fairly thick moleskin.
Tomatoes, from what I know, is around 12 to 15 rupees a kilo. And maybe 60 rupees. And you know, the can so from 3 kg of tomato, and you know, maybe better than that. We can
just maybe try to figure out. We can talk with Mataji, and if she thinks it's okay. If it whichever would be the cheaper one, we'll go for that.
So maybe we can then discuss the meter.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe that's what
we do. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get this stuff from also for the task force.
Yeah.
But they got a
lot. Oh, we did. Oh, actually, we're not going to open the shop.
Huh? Open
the shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still not the shop.
It's good to make all the ones for a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tell them.
Yeah.
Just
to
just
them.
Yeah.
By
working on that,
are you? Yes, sir. This is from Greece.
Okay. Olives. Oh, I couldn't see it. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. You can understand? Yeah, today seemed to work better. Yesterday, somehow or another, it seemed to be... No one was quite catching what was going on. You were here yesterday? No. Yeah, somehow or another, today worked better. Yesterday, I felt it was... Maybe it's the language, because we were talking about the seen and the seer and the seen. Because, you know, the Lord's the seer. Because as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the universal form, he enters into everything, so he sees everything. And we're actually the seen, but because we think we're God, we try to be the seer, and then we're and then the material energy is the seen. And so the important thing is that you know the emphasis is on the seer, not the seen. But because we're also seen, therefore we get confused at what that means. So it took a long time.
Sounds like Polish.
Yeah, so it took a while to straighten that one out yesterday.
Complicated part of the body.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like all the philosophies there. And once it's through this, I mean, it goes throughout, but here's like where the real, like, you know, like I think very technical stuff is in this part.
Yeah, the whole year we could hear you because Kashi Shva gave us some recordings of everything.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much.
Kept us sane.
Okay. I think we'll do it.
Greeks and that. They're an interesting bunch. I mean, the first time I went there, in the first class, I had actually seen them. I was singing Jayarada Madhava, I guess for the Sunday program. And you know how it normally is, there's not so many people, and I had my eyes crossed. And so when I opened my eyes, then the place was full, but it was like everyone was wearing a Greek drama mask. You know, those lines and everything, you know, and I was thinking, this is really strange. This is, you know, I thought it was just a mask. No, that's actual real faces. You know, the young people not so much, but once they get like in the 30s, 40s, it looks like their faces are carved. Yeah. Very, very unique.
It's said they made research that they have the most sex in Europe among Europeans.
Yeah, yeah, they even beat out the Swedes and the Danish, right? Yeah, yeah. No, they go out every night. Yeah. But it says it's very rough. That's why you don't see so much the Greeks becoming devotees, because it's really, really rough. I think one devotee was Greek, and he says, you know, when he's 14, his aunt went after him. You know, so it's like they're a wild bunch. That's why they're the original Malechans. They are the essence. Yeah. You know, I've noticed it's too cold. You know, like that. You know, you can't always get inspired, but there it's the weather's cold.
Thank you.
Okay. What is primary and secondary for Yama and Yama, is that also applicable in that verse? Always remember and never forget.
Yeah, always remember is the primary, never forgets the secondary.
Can one speak about secondary, not to forget Krishna?
The whole point is to remember Krishna. So to remember Krishna, you shouldn't forget him. So your desire to not forget Krishna inspires you to remember him. But the remembrance is the primary. You know, it's subtle there. There's less difference. They're both perfect. But so the farther you get down into the material energy, then the rules have more this distinction between the two. You know, but there's still always distinction.
In the absolute sense, there's no distinction about that.
There's no, but there still is. Just like, you know, Stai Bhav is the main bhava. Everything else is actually supporting that. Mm-hmm. You know, so even there, as you have the five aspects of bhava. But it's still going to be the Stai Bhava is the main, because that's your relationship. Everything else is what inspires that relationship, what's the experience of the relationship, like that. You know, your Saptika Bhavas will be your primary, you would say your main ecstatic symptoms, and the Sanchari Bhavas will be secondary. So you can always have this difference, you know, like that.
Twice, 2 days.
You know, Mother Jashoda, she is the main one in the parental rasa. Nanda Baba would be, in that case, secondary. Right? Because he's supporting. But she is like the epitome of parental rasa. But it's not that he's any less of a parent. You understand? So it's just a matter of discrimination. It's not that you're saying one's superior, but it says you know what is there. Like, it means the floor is important, that rug is important, but which one goes on top, which one goes on the bottom. So, you know, so that's the whole point. Which one is supporting what? Okay.
Two more weeks.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Maybe you have a few questions.
Huh? Okay. Do you talk to Madhav Gauranga? Let's see. Because sometimes after class, sometimes it's time. You have to see.
Okay. With who?
Madhav Gauranga.
Madhav.
Okay. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't have questions, but I very much appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Just have to.
Okay, thank you.
Class is going okay for you? You happy with it? No? Yeah?
But that's what I'm saying. It's
okay.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. It's kind of your place on Sunday, just to have a big crash out.
It's very system quick.
Yeah, it means the quick can be done. There's methods you can do it, go through something quickly, but the point is you have to go to a depth. The problem is quick, you can't absorb much facts. But if you're going quick, but you're going for essence, then it can work. There's not a problem with going quick. But when it's like you have to know so many verses and so many translations and so many this and memorize so many things, then quick is a big problem. So then it can create an anxiety because, you know, you're trying to gain something, but at the same time as you don't want that gain to be, an experience outside what you would call favorable. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Because someone may like to study, but so that's not a problem, but still they won't feel that they're, you know, the experience gained is what they would consider would be how they would want it done.
It's all becoming part of the big plan. Does
that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Let's say, okay, it means you want to study, that means there's the austerity of studying. So that's not the problem. Right? Because if that was a problem, one wouldn't study, one wouldn't go to the course, right? So one's going to the course because one likes to study, but one would like that the experience of that study to actually be something that you like, that pleasant, you know, like that.
Maybe you can tell.
Does that make sense? No, that's the point. Because we will speed up also once it's developed and everything like that. Because see, now as we're having to go, we have to spend so much time on these points and so many examples and go over and over again because we haven't actually gone through in our style, our orientation and our study of Bhagavad Gita. Because if that's done, then all these philosophical points would already be understood. Now it's just a matter of the depth of it. Does that make sense? So once devotees have gone through the Bhakti Shastri and the other thing, then when they study the Bhagavatam, then we can spend less time and go to the same depth. Does that make sense? That's all, you know. So that means what we might spend 20 minutes or half an hour on, we could do in 5 minutes. So that means then we can actually go through, you know, 2 chapters a week. It's not a lot. You know, it's not a small amount, but it's not a lot. Well, right now it's like we're taking, you know, a month to go through a chapter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it depends on the capacity.
Yeah, but the point is if you've already got all your preliminaries down and you're familiar with the language and the concepts and the connections, then going quicker is easy. It's natural. Well, now we're going through the detail of what's here, but we also have to give so much backup what we would be giving in our study of Bhagavad Gita and orientation. Like that. So the main thing in here is you're connecting that together and getting the essence. You know, because does that make sense? So that's why we're saying now we're not worried about time. The point is people should understand. But eventually we want to have it that because they're already trained from the orientation and from the study of Gita, then what we're spending an hour on now, we can do in 5 minutes. Because we point out the sambandha abhideya prayoga, and we can point out the connection, what the point here, the flow of the thoughts that are there. That's what we're trying to do. Then easily, I mean, at least in my estimation, we should be able to do a chapter in 2 days. One day is the presentation going through it, and the second day would be for, you know, reviewing on that or any questions that came up in the student's study. You know, unless it's some, you know, very special chapter, then it may take more. Because some of the chapters
versus within it they have their own separate study, like that, like the Chaturshloki, you know, in that's ninth chapter, and then the invocation, you know, some of these things, or let's say like prayers of Queen Kunti or something like that, that Prabhupada puts a lot of emphasis on, the Acharyas put emphasis, those will have, besides being involved in how they fit in the chapter, they themselves will be studied on their own. So those kind of things, then you might take more time, but the idea is that it would move at that speed eventually, but not now, we're in no rush to. This year, it's not moving at that speed, like that. And hopefully next year we start the, you know, study of the Gita and the orientation. So then, depending on how long that takes, then a year after that, or 2 years, then we'll start moving at that speed. But before that, we won't. Like that. Because the main thing is the student should understand and be able to appreciate and work within that depth. Does that make sense?
So then the Bhaktisastra and Bhagavad Gita would be like the preliminary?
For Bhagavatam, yeah, of course. Yeah, it is. It's that way anyway.
If we're allowed to use those terms.
Yeah, we may use those terms, may not. The study is the same.
Anyway, whatever we're going to do is going to be its own order.
Yeah, its own. We just, because this came up now, because others were supposed to be doing the Bhakti Shastri and those kind of things, but that fell through, and she was always working on the Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Vedanta, the Bhagavatam. So therefore, that's how it came out in this order. But now others are working, so that should, this hopefully this next September, those others should start up like that. And we're not sure how, what it'll take, 1 year, 2 years. I kind of expect two. You know, because you're trying to get a really solid foundation in philosophy, like that.
So then it'll have to be the same students go through the whole 2 year course.
Yeah. Well, eventually that's how it would be anyway. You know, and eventually we'd also.
The thing is, if you're gonna write well and go deep, then you also have to study well.
Yeah.
And go deep, and that. Yeah. Doubles the time by twice.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
Yeah. So we're taking it. It means we're moving as fast as we can and developing these. But the point is we want the standard, what we want. It means the detail, editing detail, editorial things, that'll just like all this Sandarbha stuff. Eventually, because those points are being made. That means Jiva Goswami is given these points from the study of this chapter. So that means these points go with the particular purports and verses that they're connected to. But at this point, they're separate because the one has been done, the others have been collected. But eventually, then students will take that and then take all these things of Jiva Goswami and put them in there as, like we have the Nimisha, we'll give it a name and then it will be put in there. So that the points being made in the verses and then this and its study of it will be put together. But it's not now. But the matter is there, just the organization of it may adjust with time. So our main point is we have to have the degree of depth of the material and the study, that has to be there. And then with time as we apply it, we adjust. Like last year, what we have here, we started off quite different. Right. The basic was the same, but actually then it was quite different. So then this had to be written. Because the other one, the first canto, was quite thin, you know. It was like a third of the size of this.
Yeah,
even though the first canto is actually
really
a thicker
didn't
book.
Know where to, you know, where and how to start.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure of the audience. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we were just kind of working together.
Yeah.
And by the end of the first canto, we could see the standard that was, you know, very high, but still everyone was interested.
And also just the, and this form also came up because I think this came up in the writing of the third and fourth cantos, that this style came up, but it was organized like specifically like this, then for the second, and then it'll be written back for the first. Like that. And then as we go, then the third, fourth, like that.
So you have a group of devotees that work in
it's just
it's a one-man group. And whoever has the time, because everyone comes here for a few
MPD,
months.
Multiple personality disorder, so...
All 15 of us work on this. What do you mean? You don't work on it. You just...
One sense, it's bliss.
What do you mean? Somebody's got to eat, you know? Like that. Yeah, but then don't take any credit. But if you don't eat, you don't write. You know, like that. Okay.
At least the Bhagavatam, I'm feeling. But Bhakti Shastri, we've got Pandava working on it. And even on the Bhagavatam, Jagannath's doing, doing an edit on the Sandarbha stuff.
Yeah, it means if you want to put in some time and help, then you talk to Maharaj or there's something, then you can, give parts.